We're the biggest player of our industry. There's not even anybody close. So we're really able to, you know, we buy a lot, we work with our vendors, and we didn't do this overnight. This was 20 years in the making of becoming a franchise and scaling like this. And now we're able to command lower pricing for our franchises, which even increases the profit more.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Today, we are going to have a guest coming in, one of our franchise partners, talking about an industry that is massive, one we haven't talked about much on this show, or at least recently, one that we're going to hear the name of it, and you're going to think, oh, okay, they do that. And then you're going to realize, oh my gosh, they do that, and that. Amazing array of things, all kind of underneath one umbrella of a business. So super cool opportunity to be able to learn there. Before we get to our guest, first, a quick reminder of who we are. Fran Coach, again, is the premier franchise consulting firm. We are not here to sell you anything. Our number one goal is to help properly educate you on franchise ownership, to help you determine if you should own one. If so, we're going to help you figure out what is your absolute best franchise to own. This is the most individualized and personalized process out there. And so our focus at Fran Coach is on the most important thing, which is you. Isn't that awesome? We get to focus on you. You get to be selfish when you work with Fran Coach and on this podcast. So we're going to go to our guest next, right after this. All right, everybody, we are back on the Franchising 101 podcast with our guest. Today, we're going to have a franchisor that we're going to spotlight. And this isn't just some random dude that works at the franchise. This is the founder and current CEO of Tint World, Mr. Charles Bonfiglio. Charles, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
We are excited to chat with you, and I got a bunch to go through. I always like to pretend like it's nice and easy and give you some easy questions before we really get the hard-hitting ones in there, see if we can, you know, bring you to tears at some point. So just buckle up, brother. You ready?
I got it. Let's go.
So want to obviously learn all about Tint World, but I like hearing the stories. You've been in franchising a long time. You know, this is all about people. Give us a little scoop on Charles and how this whole Tint World thing even came about.
You know, it is a really deep story. I mean, as a young guy, I love cars. That's where it started. But, you know, I got out of high school and I wound up opening up a clothing factory. My father did that. I learned from him and I did that in Brooklyn. Another year or two after that, I had a brother-in-law that just married my sister and he worked in a pizzeria restaurant in New York City. And, you know, he needed a partner. He needed more money and a partner to open up, to take over that restaurant and on 32nd Street and Broadway in New York, right around the corner from the Empire State Building. We had Vincent's Pizzeria. So we did that, and I just felt like I was just falling into businesses that either my dad knew and I learned from him or my brother-in-law, and I'm like, I want to do something that I love, and I love cars, so I wanted to do something with aftermarket accessories on cars, car stereos, detailing, accessories, and so I told my, when I sold the two businesses, I told my dad, I want to move down to Florida, and I want to go start my own like car stereo shop. And I learned that along the way because I worked on my own cars and had a friend with an older brother that had a shop. I'd spend weekends there. I learned it. I felt I could do it. I just sold whatever I had, including my Corvette at the time. I sold everything I had. And I saved about $30,000. And I took a one-way plane ticket with just two suitcases on the way to Florida from Brooklyn in 1983. And by 1984, I wound up opening up a franchise called Meineke Discount Mufflers. And the way I came to that was a cousin of mine told me about it, that he was doing it in New Jersey. It wasn't the business that I was planning on. But when I got down to Florida, the landlords didn't want to rent to me. The banks didn't want to lend me money.
Right.
And I didn't know how I was going to get them. You know, so I found franchising. And what did they do? I asked my cousin. He says, well, they helped you get a loan, helped you find a location. I'm like, geez, that's really what I need. And so that's how I found franchising and wound up buying my first store in Hollandale Beach, Florida. I was dating my wife at the time, who she's now my wife. At the time, she was my girlfriend and she was going to college. I originally met her in New York, but we really didn't get together till we got down here. And I told her, once I get my business open, we'll get married, you know. And so, of course, I opened up the store and she was like, with the ring. And right. So we got married, and wasn't long after we got a honeymoon. We came back. Now about a year or so in business. And I said, she was doing the book work. I was doing sales, marketing, operations. We just worked good together.
Yeah.
So I says, you know, Jeanette, my wife, I says, I wanna go buy a Corvette again. I said, when I moved out to Florida, I came from a 1981 Corvette. I sold it to use the money to come down here. Now I'm driving a 4-year-old Ford EXP. So to save money, I want to get rid of that. And I want to buy a nice new Corvette again. I want to order it brand new. And I want to drive with you back and forth to work. Palm trees, beautiful, convertible, you know. And so she says, Charles, you know, you're doing really well. I love what you're doing. And, you know, you bought us a townhouse, went on a honeymoon to Hawaii. But, you know, if you want that, you're going to have to open up another one of these. I'm like, okay, pick up the phone. I called up Meineke, give me another license. It wasn't even a few months later, I opened up my second store. And about 6-8 months in, I tell my wife, it's Jeanette. I says, the store's doing as good as the first one. Can I go buy the Corvette? She goes, go ahead. I go, all right. So I went out, I bought a new Corvette, you know, black with red interior. And what did I do? I customized it with the best sound system. Started going to car shows, and I got very popular from that. And fast forward a little bit further, I went to these annual conventions at these franchises that they pretty much all have. Yeah. And I started running into other franchises. I learned, wow, these other guys are really, they have 3 stores, 4 stores. One guy I met has his father with him. They tell me they want to go buy a piece of property and they want to rent it to the business of the franchise. I said, well, why do you want to do that? He says, because instead of the rent going up, he goes, and then you lose your place. He goes, I could actually own the property. It gets paid off. And I can have income forever when I sell the business on that. I like that. So I went to my wife and I just had a meeting with all these guys. I said, I want to go buy property and build my own building for the next stores. And she says, Charles, you know, we're doing really well, but if you want to do that, you better buy another one of these. I go, okay. And I got my third license. So I was very simple. I had 3 buckets. The one was living expenses. The second one was to buy the car and all my toys and jewelry for my wife, and we travel. The third bucket was earmarked just for buying property and developing. And that's how I really got started.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So I love all that. When really we probably need your wife on here instead of you, because if it sounds very similar to my situation where she's the brains and the beauty and I just go along for the ride and do it, smile and do what she says. So works well. And so how did we get to where we've got now? Obviously you're passionate with automotive, you get into a great automotive franchise, and then how do we get Tint World going?
Well, you know, so after that third location of leasing them and now having money, I got my contractor's license. I built my next location, building from the ground up, and I built a bunch of those. By the time I got to 2001, I built my Tint Meineke store, my auto center, and I built the biggest stores that Meineke had in their system. My last one was 18 bays, 10,000 square feet. It was the first one that ever went over $2 million in sales. Wow. All my stores were pretty much over $1 million, which was only a handful of them were. And so when we got to be around 1999 to 2001, when I opened that last one or two stores, I told my wife, I'm going to hold off for a while. Because I was building stores every 2 or 3 years. And I said, we just had a baby, my daughter. And I said, I'm going to hold off because my wife, I realized she was spending more time with my daughter. We just had my son on the way. I said, I'm going to, you know, not open anything for a few years.
Right.
She says, okay. I said, I'll spend more time with you and the family, and I got enough right now. It's a couple of years down the line. It's like 2005, 2006. I tell my wife, I said, Jeanette, I want to start opening up stores again. I want to start building a lot of companies. She goes, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I don't want to build Meineke's anymore. She said, what do you want to do? I says, I want to build the business I always dreamed of.
Right.
I want to build a car accessory center. I said, but I don't want to start from scratch, and I don't want just one. Because if I want it, there's no franchise out there. If I want this, there's got to be other people that want it too.
Yeah.
I said, so there's this company called Tint World. Tint World had about 6 locations. It's very rare that you have a tint shop that has 6 locations and does multiple services. So I called up the guy and I took him out to lunch and made him an offer. I want to buy his stores. And he says, what do you want to buy them for? I said, what's the difference? He goes, I just want to know. I said, well, I want to buy the stores that I'm making a franchise. So he liked the idea, and that was cool. So a couple of months later, we secured a deal. I bought the businesses and the rights to the name, and took me from 2006 to 2007 to write the franchise disclosure document, the system, the website, and everything that I learned while I was with Meineke and more, I studied, and I wound up launching the Tint World franchise in 2007, and we had six locations that I purchased, but I immediately in the first year sold three, and so we had a total of nine in that first 2007, and from there, it was just working on the operations and year after year, making it better, you know, growing it, a couple of stores a year. By the time we got to about 2019, we had about 70 stores and grew under the radar all over the country. And I felt it was time to scale because it was predictable. We were opening, they were profitable, they were doing well. It was time to really scale. And so all 2019, I started to really get involved with, you know, franchise broker and referral networks. And I started to really learn more and focus on the franchise dev side. Before, I was just tripping over licenses.
Right.
Now I really want to go. And so, of course, I was already in 2020 was going to be my year. And lo and behold, we got hit with a pandemic. However, I was lucky. And I say I'm lucky because our business model was in automotive and it got deemed as an essential business. So we didn't have to shut down.
Yeah.
I actually empowered my franchisees that we're lucky. We got it going. We really built a nice family atmosphere with all our franchise members. And then I basically, from that point, I started calling the brokers and saying, what's going on out there? And they were like, well, the gyms are closed. We can't sell those. The restaurants are closed. I'm like, I'm ready. And so they started sending me work, some franchise leads and prospects. So in 2020, I wound up, I think, awarding 21 licenses, which is the most I've ever done. And in 2021, I think I sold 67 licenses, which is by far as much as I had all open by then. So it just started going from there. And that's how we started evolving really quickly.
Nice. I love it. And talk a little bit, obviously, what the business does. There's, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm going to guess we're doing tint for automotive. But there's so much more than just tint within a Tint World location. So talk about kind of all the different things that are there for your potential customers.
Well, you know, we do. Tinting is definitely one of the things that people know us for. Basically, it's in the name. But we also do tint, paint protection film, vehicle wraps, graphics on cars. People like to customize their vehicles. We do detailing and ceramic coating on cars. We do car audio and electronics. If they, you know, they wanted a radar detector, they wanted car stereo upgrade, they wanted truck accessories, lighting. You know, lighting's a big thing on cars, inside and out. You know, all these different things are really, you know, popular. And we also do residential and commercial window tinting. And just about anything we do on a car except for wheels and tires, we could do on a boat. You know, electronics, stereos, you know, ceramic coating, window tinting, which is really important. And now a big trend is paint protection film on boats. And now it's going into colored paint protection film, so you could change the colors.
Oh.
A lot of really cool things that we're doing. And it is very unique business. It's different than anything else that was ever out there. And so that's how we really started to grow, expanded services, in a real niche business model, what real good systems that I learned from my prior franchisor from being a franchisee. I was on their franchise advisory council. I helped them launch their first point of sale software in early 90s. So I really got in tune with how they were working with franchisor, franchisee relationships. And I just felt that, you know, I wanted to build something unique, something that I wanted. Like I said, I felt other people would want it too. And, and it happened to be the case.
Love it. So I think there's a lot of kind of in franchising, as you know, like misconceptions that are out there. And so one, when we hear the word tint and we're thinking automotive, like that tends to be like more Southern, but that's not really true, especially with all the other services. You've got locations all over the country. Do you see any difference from an owner in Florida versus an owner in Minnesota for you guys?
Not really. I mean, people want to tint their car for multiple reasons. You know, they want some privacy. They want protection. They want protection from the sun. Yeah. You know, it looks nicer. It's just one of the things that people typically do. And all the other services come along with that.
Yeah.
People want to personalize, protect, and stylize their ride. And that's what we do. And I have stores. I have stores in Canada. I have stores in, you know, Long Island. I mean, these stores are doing big numbers. They're doing really well. So it's not really pertaining to any particular geographic. We opened up stores in Dubai and Saudi Arabia. They're doing well. They like the same things we like here, I find out. So yes, it's definitely a broad business. Nobody would have thought that, but it is really something that everybody really wants.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about what are some things you're looking for in an owner. And I want to kind of start with, obviously, you had this passion for automotive. Is that absolutely required for your owners? Maybe kind of start there.
Well, I want to first start by saying that what I like in franchising is I like fun businesses, profitable services or business products, and I like something that can scale where they're unique and they can go faster without just being very competitive with everybody. So those are the three things. But with us, not everybody comes into our franchise only because they like cars. As a matter of fact, some people don't really like cars at all. They just like the business model.
Right.
It's a sexy looking business. We have a good brand. We do a lot of services. It's a very profitable business. Our item 18 in our FDD is fully disclosing a lot of information that gets people excited. And so I think they buy it for the brand, the style, as well as the profitability. And, you know, the entry level for a brick and mortar store is not a lot comparatively. Yeah. So I think that's some of the reasons why. But I do have some car freaks that come in as well. They go into the car shows, the cars and coffee events on the weekends, and they meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it's a business. It's a franchise. But really, when you're a franchisee, you have to realize it's your business first. And you're using the franchise system. It's not you're buying a franchise and that's going to just do all the work for you. It gives you all the tools. But
whoa, Charles, you mean as a franchise owner, I got to actually work too?
I really want to dial in on people on that. It's an opportunity to grow a really good business if you really want to work it, grow it. Again, once you get it up and running and you really know the ropes in the business, you can put talented staff in place. You build your team and your team builds your business. Then you could do multi-store if you want or relax and sit back a little bit. But you really got to go in and run it and build it first. It's, you know, build your community. You know, we do really good marketing. So that gives a good push to get you profitable quickly. But you really want to run the business. Once you get it going, then you know how to train your staff and grow your business through your staff.
Yeah. And I think if somebody is maybe not necessarily a car person, you can still look at this from a people standpoint, from like you're making your customers really happy with something that they want in their car, boat, home, whatever it might be, and being able to kind of see like, you know, like the smiling face leaving, right? And being able to like, I'm quite sure then they're going out and they're showing off what they just got done and where'd you get that done. I'm like, oh well, you know, call my guy, you know, Tim over at Tint World, he'll hook you up, right? And so I think being able to, you know, it's like kind of the sexiness of it, but you're just seeing smiles because you're going to have happy dang customers every time coming in and out of there, right?
It is so important. I think that's why I said you want a fun business, you want a profitable business, because when you're doing that, when people leave, I mean, it's in contrast. I used to work with Meineke, and you know, you leave with your Meineke shirt on and your uniform shirt, no matter what, you go into the, whether it's a restaurant or you go to the supermarket, people see you.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I brought my car there. I came in for a $19 oil change and I left and it was $600 in brakes, you know, you know, versus when I go in with a Tint World shirt, they're like, oh, you guys are in Tint World. Can you guys do this? Can you guys do that? Oh, my sister had a car there. It was great. You know, what could I come in and get my car done? You know, like it's a completely different. So people leave and they're generally happy with the service and what it did for them. So it's a lot easier to get the referrals and good reviews and all the things that we all want in a business.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to kind of the owner a little bit, is maybe walk through what a day, I know there can be a lot of variances with this, but you know, they're not really in, and they're working on the cars all day, every day. So talk about some of the things that you would want those owners doing to kind of build that business.
Well, again, in the early days, you know, you really want to, you know, build your team. We can really start off with a relatively small staff, you know, three technicians to handle the various different services, and the owner as a manager, operating manager, or a manager to run the business in that case. But usually it's the owner operator and two or three people that start working for them. We're not training people to do the physical work on technical work. We're training to be business owners, business operators, and lead the team. And that's part of leading the team is the marketing, you know, working with your local community. Getting people to know who you are in the community. And there's a lot of outlets of us being able to, you know, integrate with the community that they want to come into our stores. Whether we're working with the police department, fire department, you know, the city vehicles, we do all these things. And when they start coming in, that just starts generating their personal cars and all their other stuff coming in. Yeah. We work with car dealerships on subcontract work that they give to us. There's a lot of that. And there's a lot of ways to really get into the community where you're part of it and they know you, what you do. And we have a broad selection of services that we offer. So it's not just a one time, I'll get my tint and that's the end.
Right.
They come back over and over again. And then you get multiple cars in the household. So that's how we really work our business. So if a franchise owner comes in, he's really leading their team.
Yeah, I love it. And you mentioned something I think gets forgotten sometimes, and certainly in an industry like automotive, is we're going to think about me as the human being bringing in my car for whatever. And yes, you're going to, like, that's the bread and butter. But the B2B side of things is huge. And you hit the thing I always think about is, like, if you get that, whatever, you know, if it's a police station or it's another business or whatever, yes, you've got that commercial account, but there's also a whole bunch of individuals that all drive cars that now they're just now aware of all the different, they may didn't really realize all the services that you have for that. So, like, do you guys know, is there a percentage for your owners of kind of the B2C versus the B2B side of business?
If I had a guess at it, I mean, we have some dialed information, but it's not all the same in every location.
Yeah.
Some locations are in heavy retail where you're getting a lot of that. Some, and you're in like an area where there is a lot of B2B, like, and you can get a lot of that. And if you go after it, you'll get more of it.
I was going to say, it's probably more on the owner, right? Of, like, I think where it's kind of time, and I put you on the spot with that question, so sorry about that. But the time or money piece is, like, as an owner, if I want to spend my time and get out and build all those relationships, maybe I spend a little less money on the marketing to get the consumer or vice versa with that, right? So I would think a big chunk of the B2B is owner driven. Would that be accurate?
I would say at least 20% on average. Could be more in some locations, but we really focus on retail customers. But again, depending on where you are and how aggressive you are going to get, you know, wholesale accounts. And wholesale doesn't mean like you're not making money, you're doing it for cheap.
Right.
You get a little bit of discount, but we have, again, very profitable services. So it's coming in without marketing over and over again. So that helps too.
Exactly, right. What do we need as far as, like, a location? Walk us through kind of that side of things.
Typically, a location will be in a retail, maybe right off retail marketplace. We want a location anywhere between 3,000 to 4,000 square feet. We have some that are a lot bigger. It just depends on what's available and what the appetite is. That's a staple location. You know, we also want to make sure that we have people that are, you know, in a certain level of geographic that live in there that want to take care of their cars. So we have some demographics that we look on that. And we really almost know, we could predict what a store will do with the right ownership and management to go just based on doing the demographics before they even open up.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about how you, because I think people can wrap their head around a lot of things from a transition if they've never owned a business before, but finding commercial real estate is something hardly anybody has any experience with. How do you guys as a franchisor help that owner with that entire process?
We're really hands-on with that. I mean, don't get me wrong, we have some franchises that come in and they have a relationship with a broker or, you know, real estate broker or family. But typically, we have a national real estate brokerage firm that, you know, has everything listed all over. Once they purchase a franchise, they're onboarded. And the first thing they need to do is start looking for a location. So we onboard a call with our VP of operations, who is an onboarding person, with our CDO, Chief Development Officer. They'll get on these meetings on an every other week basis and sometimes more, but they're scheduled out. And we're meeting with the real estate broker and we're getting all this going. Once they get going, they find a location that they think is going to be good. They'll submit it to us. We'll get it approved, subject to an approval of the LOI, which is a letter of intent or an offer that we submit to the landlord to make sure it's all fitting all the criteria that we need.
Yeah.
And then once it does that, then it's going onto a lease. And the lease, we review it along with independently. We have franchises have their own lease reviewed legally on their end, but we really preliminarily look at it to make sure it meets all our criteria that they're going to want to have. Once the lease is secured, we have a national build-out company that works and does all the build-out. There's not a lot of construction. If you get a similar location to what we're using, the size, the square footage, it's really not going to be that much. You could pretty much have our builder go in. They do what's called a test fit. They'll fly out there. They'll look at the place. They'll take pictures. They'll make sure everything looks right. Once that's done, then we submit a building permit for any adjustments of the internal space. So what's got to be done? The majority of these spaces is just paint, flooring, lighting, you know, showroom area, you know, things that make the look like our brand. And then, of course, exterior, there's not a lot to it. If we get a chance, we like to paint that our certain colors. If not, we fit in within a center that is their colors.
Right.
Signage on the outside is typically a channel letter sign across the front, sometimes a pole sign or monument sign if they have. Once that gets going and we're past that stage, or we're getting close to the final stage of build out, then we schedule the franchisee to come down to Florida, and we have a 3 weeks training, 2 weeks in classroom and combination of classroom and in-store training, and then 1 week of full technical training. Now, we're not training franchisees because they're going to be doing all the work, but we want them to know how to do the work.
Correct.
So when a customer asks them, what is he doing in my car out there? They can tell them, well, he's doing this, he's cleaning the windows, he's going to get to that. Right. They know the mechanics of it, but we have fun doing it. And then pretty much from that point, they're back on the way home. Usually within 1 to 3 months before they're ready to open, they go back home, they open up their store. Prior to that, we're having all the equipment inventory set there. So when they get back, it's putting it away.
Yeah.
During the first to second week, depending on how things fall, we'll have an operational manager that'll go there and visit with them, make sure everything's working right. And they get assigned a business coach that'll work with them on all these different things, how to run the business. In the first week or two, there's a lot of calls back and forth. How do I do this? How do we do that? That dies off after a while. By the time we're a month in, they're like, please don't call me anymore. I got too many cars. I don't need any more. They get it fast. So it's a matter of just getting the people dialed in. So when they own their business, they can run it, you know, with knowledge of how to do it right.
Yeah, no, and I love all that. And I think one of the things people will ask us sometimes is like, hey, is the franchise going to help me with blank? And I'm like, I don't care what you say. My answer is going to be yes, they're going to help you. They're not going to do it for you. But if there's ever an area, I think as a franchise owner, you need to just smile and nod as it is with real estate, because it's the biggest mistake people can make if they try to go rogue on that because they just don't know what the heck they're doing. And so the fact that you are there with them throughout all of that is fantastic to just make sure they're not hurting themselves before they're even open, because it's an easy way to do that. So,
yep. Well, we do a lot of the heavy lifting, whether it's real estate, build out, ordering equipment and signage or inventory. We really have that all dialed in. They don't really have to do a lot. Just sign off on pulling the trigger on these things. And then, of course, getting them trained. We even help them with a little bit of training on staff in the beginning, just technical training. Once they're going in, we do a lot of heavy lifting on the grand opening planning as far as marketing. We do a lot of the heavy lifting marketing. I would say we probably do 70% or more of the marketing to kick off this store. And the more that some franchisees will actually go out and work their own community with a whole rule book that we have, the more they do it themselves, the less they have to worry about us doing more marketing for them.
Right.
But we get a lot. We get the thing kicked up going pretty quickly.
Yeah. So you mentioned one other thing I wanted to bring up was inventory, right? There's stuff in these locations. So as an owner, like, how do they know where to get all of this stuff? Talk about all the ways you're helping them with that.
So we have a list of designated suppliers where we have certain products that you want to get from these they're negotiated deals. They have heavy discounts comparative to anybody else that can buy them. So they'll buy most of that. I mean, an opening inventory is somewhere between $30,000 on the high side, $40,000. And really, you can maintain that inventory and do $1 million a year with that kind of inventory. So you can order weekly, bi-weekly on inventory. It's not a lot. And again, it's low cost of product, high gross profit margin, because a lot of it is technical work. You can't buy these things on Amazon and think you're going to race to the bottom on the lowest price. These things are technically installed and serviced by proper technicians in a unique industry. And that's how we were able to you know, make really good profit on them because it's people want to get it done for them.
Yeah, and part of the power of franchising and the brand is that buying power, right? You've got hundreds of locations around the country. You're going to get things at a lower price than like me just starting, you know, Tim's Tent Shop. Like, I'm not getting anywhere near the same as that. And not to mention, you don't have to figure out where you guys have figured all of that stuff out. It's just owners coming in and following that playbook.
I would say our top products are 20 to 50% lower than anybody else can even get them for. We're the biggest player of our industry. There's not even anybody close. So we're really able to, you know, we buy a lot. We work with our vendors. And we didn't do this overnight. This was 20 years in the making of becoming a franchise and scaling like this. And now we're able to command lower pricing for our franchises, which even increases the profit more.
Correct. Yep, absolutely. So, Charles, I love all of this. And I can't thank you enough for your time. I'm going to fire one more question at you and then I'll let you get back to your day. And this is probably a little bit of a loaded question, but what's maybe one other thing we haven't talked about today that you would really want somebody to know about Tent World and the opportunity it provides people?
Okay, I'll give you one. This one I think is pretty big, and you probably maybe don't know, I'm not sure. But, you know, when I started this business, my thought was, I want to take it to 1,000 locations, I want to be a $1 billion company, and I want to do it all myself. And about a year ago, my son just was graduating college and he went and worked for a PE firm and he came back. He says, Dad, he says, you and mom, you should take an investment in. I'm like, I don't want no money from anybody. I want to build that. He goes, I'm telling you, do this. You'll grow 10 times faster. So recently we just took an institutional investment from Susquehanna, which is a very
nice
$1 billion company. Yeah. They love us. They've been contacting me for years and it was always no, along with a lot of others. But we actually just got a significant investment from them and they're going to help us grow worldwide household brand name like faster than we could have did it without them. So that's a pretty big thing. We're actually getting a lot of the bigger players come in, including PE firms that want to buy a lot of territories up because they see it's a good model. It's backed by a larger company now, even than we were. Yeah. And so we're looking to grow really quickly over the next 5 years.
Awesome. Well, congrats on that. Tell people for that maybe don't understand, like, how does that help you on the growth? Where do you see that money coming in to really play into to the growth?
So I'll play to the bit of me that's humble. Okay, I was a franchisee first. I became a multi-franchisor, then a real estate developer, then eventually a franchisor, and now I'm scaling to where everything I'm doing, 50 stores, 100 stores. We got 150 growing now with another 100 in the pipeline. Everything you have to do at a different level is learning. Well, now I've got the resources, not only monetary resources, but actually knowledge, people that have done this over and over again to support me with our fast growth. So it's really going to help us support the franchisees with better support, grow with a lot faster than we could have done without a big partner like this. And really grow internationally more. We've already grown a little bit, but now we have international footprint where we can grow worldwide. So a lot of really good ways that we can grow. And again, it's either learn on your own and you grow it as fast as you can,
right,
or you get some collective knowledge of people that have done this over and over again like this.
Yeah. I love it. And your first thing you talked about with how that's going to help is, to me, it's the biggest key. It's the support. Right? Like, you can, if somebody's all they're doing is focus on finding new franchise owners, you're going to see a lot of franchise owners that aren't doing very well. When you build it based on the support, then now you know everybody that's coming in, they've got more, all this stuff that you've been overwhelming them with at the beginning doesn't go away just because there's more of them. So Charles, I love that, man. And congrats on that. That's not an easy thing to accomplish. So good job listening to your kid, basically. So
exactly. I couldn't have really trusted anybody more than my own son. He cares for us. And it proved not to be well. It was only a few weeks ago we closed on our deal. And now we're just doing our transition to faster growth for 2026. 2026 is going to be an amazing year. We're building a 14,000 square foot facility for our corporate headquarters. The first floor, it'll have our training center, retail center, as well as on the second floor, our big franchise office. So we're looking forward to it.
Excellent. Cool. And it's in South Florida. So, you know, you got nice weather. So there you go. Well, cool. Charles, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to our guest, Charles Bonfiglio, founder and CEO of Tint Worlds. Exciting opportunity there. So thanks for joining. Always, as always, we appreciate you tuning in every week. We hope this provides valuable insight into the amazing possibilities that can be achieved in the world of franchising. When you are ready to learn more, again, everything what this podcast is all about, our team at FranCoach, FranCoach.net. Don't forget about our YouTube channel, FranCoach for You. And then our Franchising 360 TV show is back rolling season 2, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on Biz TV. Again, all those episodes are on our YouTube channel as well. When you are ready, and what the heck are you waiting for? When you're ready to learn more about, to see if franchise ownership is for you, and if so, which one, reach out to our team. FranCoach.net is where you're going to find us. There is never, ever any fee for our service. I promise there's not. We're like recruiters in the corporate world. So we're here for you. Reach out and let us help you create your better tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.